Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, Think Big listeners. My name is Coach Dion, and I am one of your Monday night hosts here on Think Big Radio. Don't forget to check us out Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we interview people who have started their own companies by dreaming and thinking big. If you would like to market your business here on Think Big Radio, please feel free to check us out at www.thinkbigradiohost.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/thinkbigradio. For those of you who would like to call in and ask questions, you could do so by calling 718-664-9989. Our guest tonight is Ms. Veronica Conway, founder of BPCA and co-founder of a coaching company that transforms the behavior and performance of celebrities, athletes, CEO, and entertainers. She is also the founder of the Black Paper, which I am anxious to discuss tonight. I want to welcome this beautiful, intelligent powerhouse of a woman to Think Big Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm tickled to be talking to people tonight out there in business Think Big land.
Great. And you are definitely a big think. You had to think big to come up with what you came up with.
You're right. It's so funny. My motto, all the black coaches that know me are like, I always say my mantra is world domination, and everybody kind of like backs up from that. But I'm like, that's what it's all about, though. World domination, transformation of the black planet. Let's go, right? And so
you
I have
just that.
Say that again.
I said, and you've done just that.
We're getting there. We're growing and getting bigger all the time. So
wow. So let's start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. Well, as you said, I mean, I'm the founder of the Black Professional Coaches Alliance, which is the world's only network of African American life and business coaches. And the BPCA has been partnering with Black National Professional Associations over the last several years. To really bring coaching into the black space in the professional sector. I also run a company called Phenom, which caters to the athletic entertainment industries. I have another company, Tribe Coaching, which deals with, I do all my kind of individual coaching there. I do financial coach training for case managers in low-income communities, training them how to empower folks that have come off welfare, out of prison. How do you actually get them activated and moving towards their vision with power and purpose? It's been a really amazing and transformative program. And then I just became a managing partner of another company called BioEtherics, and that's a whole nother show. But essentially, it's a distance energy signal that you can use to sort of activate the performance in human beings at a distance. It does healing. It's highly energizing, and so I'm taking that whole technology to market. So I've got a few things to do.
I hear. That's so great.
Thank you. We actually
have a caller that's calling in. I believe it's Mary the Encourager. She's also a host here on Think Big Radio.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to co-host
okay,
with us today. So, Mary, are you there?
Yes, this is Mary the Encourager.
Hi, Mary.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you okay.
I am enjoying this interview so far, so I'll be here and I'll ask a question here and there and pitch in when I can.
Great,
okay,
thank you.
Thank you. So, Veronica, so what motivated you to start coaching?
Well, I'm going to give you the most succinct answer that I can give you, but it's a little bit of history and context to it. I was born the child of a former Black Panther, and my father was incarcerated when I was 6 years old. and he went to prison. He was convicted for the murder of a park ranger. He's been in prison for the last 34 years. He's still in. We're fighting a major battle with the U.S. government around his release. Before he went to prison, we lived in a communist collective, like preparing for the revolution in Northern California. And before he went to prison, I experienced police shootouts. I experienced death threats against my life. I went to school under an alias. We were getting tailed by the FBI. Like, I had this really crazy, crazy, crazy dramatic childhood. But what happened is after my dad was convicted and went to prison, I really began to try, my mom tried to normalize my life as much as possible. But there were some questions that I began to ask really early in life because of what I'd gone through. I began to ask, what is freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I began to ask what is freedom is because I had seen my dad, who, for all intents and purposes, was incarcerated, seemed to have the psychology of a free person. And I saw other brothers and sisters kind of walking around outside, seemingly incarcerated. And I began to ask the question about, well, what is freedom? Is it a function of choice, or is it a function of your circumstances? You know, I think if you ask Nelson Mandela, he would say it's choice, it's all choice. So I really began to ask those questions. And as I got to college at UC Berkeley, I really began to ask the questions, what would be the difference that would make the difference in the black community? Like, could we free up our psychology in such a way that we could really live with, realize our true potential? So I was always curious. I was always researching stuff. I finally went to Tony Robbins. I got a vision for waking up the black planet. I got it deeply embedded in my nervous system and activated in my nervous system. I made a decision that I was going to move towards that vision, and I'm going to say it was a real decision. I think most people have preferences. They don't really decide. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I decided that that was going to be my life's work. And then a few weeks later, somebody said, there's this thing called coaching. So that's a long story. It's a long little trajectory. Yeah. But I just wanted to give some context about why black coaching and why this work. It really is about creating internalized freedom for people.
Okay, so at what point in your life did you step into this? You say you went to go see Tony Robinson. How many years ago was that, and how did you even get it started?
That was a decade ago, and I'll tell you, I was working at a job that I hated. I wasn't making enough money, and I borrowed $50 from everybody in my office. It was a $600 program at the time, and I went. Because I think that sometimes when certain things really speak to you and call to you and you get these inklings about your destiny, you know, you gotta figure out a way to do it. You gotta get bigger than your current circumstances. And so I did that, and I attended his event. And that's where I also got my first exposure to a technology that I use today, which is neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, timeline therapy. I use some very advanced technologies for really getting rapid behavior change quickly. And Tony's really the master at that.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He is. I followed a lot of his work.
Yep.
Wow. And so as a business owner,
mm-hmm.
and stepping outside of it, doing what it is you have to do to get everything started in coaching,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
what would you say was the most difficult hurdle you had to get over?
You know, I mean, I would say that once I got the vision really installed in my nervous system, like this will be, I am putting this on the earth, I was so congruent and so aligned with my vision that I could not stop moving towards it. Now, were there struggles? Yes. I think that for most people that I've observed, and I've coached thousands, hundreds, and just I've coached tons of people over the last decade, most of them don't really have the congruent psychology first. And I got that, but most people don't have that. They're not fully congruent. So it's like we're operating with like a little bit of a brake on. That's what I see operating when people think about business startup. Am I smart enough? Am I good enough? Can I really? But I would say day to day, my biggest hurdle has been, it's managing cash flow, building a team, and how do you afford the team in concert with managing cash flow? I mean, I think I think that if you're going to go into the entrepreneur game, you got to really be clear that you can manage complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's far more complex than being an employee. I don't care at what level you've been operating at. It's just far more complex. So it's just kind of managing all of those things and keeping like a balance between that and a family life. And but I think most people's psychology, most people don't have like a no matter what I'm decided psychology about being in business. So a lot
mm-hmm.
of people have businesses that are hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
They're hobbies, right? Because they're not fully congruent. And also, I would say, what I also find, and this is a lot of the work that I do with clients, is they don't. I find that the most successful business owners, and I've been around a lot of them. They have a vision that's far bigger than their business. Their vision is like something about impacting the world, and so they're shooting for the sun and maybe hitting the moon, but the vision is actually way bigger than their coaching practice or their accounting business, or it's just because that sort of pulls you forward into playing a much bigger game, and it redesigns you as a human being. When you got to play a big game, it
mm-hmm.
redesigns the way you think about everything. So, yeah.
I have a question on that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time. I heard what you just said about it redesigns them, and actually what I was thinking about, I've done some studies about personalities, and
yeah.
when you were talking, what I was hearing is, or what I was thinking about is, there's some people who are just very artistic, or they are people who are very good in with their hands or with mechanical things, but not necessarily as good with business things, like the enterprising part of their personality. When I heard you say that part about redesign, there was something that clicked. I'm just wondering, for that person who feels like they know they want to do something, but they just feel like they don't know the business part of it, are you saying that there's something that happens to them that causes them to find ways to build on that part that is missing? Or that they feel is missing.
You mean if they're let me frame that question back to you and see if I'm in the right ballpark.
Okay.
I think what I'm hearing you say is that some people have you said artistic and creative personalities,
mm-hmm.
and they may want to do something, but they may not have the inclination or the temperament for sort of the more businessy stuff, right?
Yes.
They feel
mm-hmm.
right. So what I would say about that, if any of you, you know, everybody read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber if you have not. He makes a distinction in that book about the difference between being a technician and being an entrepreneur. And so you can be brilliant at something technically. You can be artistic. You can be creative. You can be a great, let's say you're a great coach. I've seen a lot of great coaches that don't know how to run a business.
Uh-huh.
And so if you are not going to decide to learn the mechanics and learn the business of business, then you better get somebody on your team that will. Because especially in this economy, because it's not for play out here, right? So, right?
Exactly. Seriously.
Oh, I
yeah.
agree. I agree.
So if you want to focus on the really what you're talking about is artistic and technical gifting, right, that need to somehow be supported in terms of how to get it out in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
Then you got to hire and staff around you, you know, such a way that the business could still run, and your lack of gifting in the business arena doesn't become the bottleneck.
Oh, I definitely agree. I work in a field where I work with government contracts. And I will always, always have people who will say, I want a contract. I want to get the money. But they don't have that team in place that you're talking about. So
right.
although they may be very good at what they do, they don't value the missing link, the marketing, the administrative, just the put your nose to the grind business of building a business.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and they don't, and people tend to not hire team fast enough. Like, I hired my business manager to build systems around me before I could afford her. I said, you know what? And I'm kind of a, you know, you got to forgive me, I'm kind of a defy the odds girl, if you can't tell. And I said, okay, this was way back in like 99. I'm like, okay, she's $800 a month to run my books and to build me systems, right? I will go by getting that handled. It actually gives me the congruent psychology to go land the big deals and the motivation and the incentive to land the big deals, because I know that I can actually fulfill on it because I have somebody backing me up on it. Does that make sense? So you have to. So I've coached people. It's very interesting where when we really climb down into it, they couldn't figure out why they weren't going out and marketing and selling and doing business well, because they really, at the subconscious level, didn't feel like they could execute on it because they didn't have enough team in place.
That's me. I'm raising my hand like in the air. That is so.
You don't pitch.
Exactly. I know what I know how to do, but I don't know how to market it. And I don't even know how to sell it. But I bet you I could do it, you know?
So right.
No, you need somebody on your team.
And that other part that you said, that I heard another speaker say this as well in a speaker's conference, where she said she hired a public relations agent before she could afford it. She used all the funds she had, because she knew she was at that point that she needed that skill that she herself could not provide. And and as you said, she had enough determination and commitment to her focus, to her passion, that she knew she needed something beyond herself.
Yeah, like I'm about to get a publicist, actually, because the game that I'm playing at this level is going to require national media. It just is. So at some point you got to take a step back and decide and surrender in a certain way. Yeah.
I love that. Veronica, I want to tell our Think Big listeners a way that they can contact you.
I got lots of websites, but probably really it's like too many to count at this point. But the easiest way, the kind of more central way to find me is www.veronicaconway.com. www.veronicaconway.com, but also do check out the Black Paper. We'll talk about that later, right? We're going to talk about the Black Paper.
As soon as you get done.
Okay. Well, yeah, so also we're going to talk, we're going to talk about something in a minute, but write this down so that you can go get it. It's www.theblackpaper.com/blog. And you can subscribe to RSS feeds and pick up a copy of the Black Paper and see all my little goodies there.
Great. Mary.
Yes.
Hold on to your seat, girl, because we are about to actually get into what I've been wanting to get into since the beginning of this interview, okay?
All right. I'm ready.
Now, Veronica, let's get into the Black Paper.
Uh-huh.
Now, first I have to say I'm really pressing people to read this for themselves.
Yes.
And so I prepared some questions for you that allows us to talk about the Black Paper,
but
not give it all away. Okay?
Right. Good.
Now, can I just ask, can I clarify one thing? Is it the Black Paper or the Black Pages?
The Black Paper.
The Black Paper.
All right. Okay.
They can get it at theblackpaper.com or theblackpaper.com/blog, either site.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But even though we're going to talk about it, I still encourage our listeners to read it. You know, when I read it the first time, I was so intrigued and moved that I had to reread it for a second time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I was blown away. Even the second time around, I was still like, my mouth was open. So,
like, what did she say?
Without giving it away, Veronica, is the Black Paper?
So the Black Paper is my latest manifesto. It's about a 34-page read, so it's a really easy read. It's free and it's downloadable at theblackpaper.com or /blog. And really what it does is it addresses the problem of victim thinking in the Black community. So I really dedicated my life in all of my work with Black coaches. I really wanted to understand what is this internalized conversation that we have that really stops us in our tracks. And so I really began to explore what that means and why we indulge in victim thinking. And the reason that I believe that we indulge in victim thinking is because we've been victimized. And what the Black Paper really breaks down is kind of how the mindset in the African-American community actually got formulated. So it didn't just happen. It wasn't just by chance. We have been at the effect of this thing called internalized racism, meaning we have adopted the story from the dominant culture about who we are. So, and that all exists and gets passed down in the collective consciousness and through intergenerational communication. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, so we've been through 246 years of slavery, 345 years of legalized racism, 382 years of attitudinal racism, and only 44 legal years of participation in society. So that has created an enormous subconscious cultural conditioning in our community that when we talk about why don't we trust each other and why we have black-on-black crime and why do people cry victim, what I've done is I've really broken down how that works at its most root cause level. That's what that is.
Absolutely. Now, okay, so let's talk about, and you mentioned this, let's talk about the mindset of the African-American community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, in many ways, well, here's what I say. I say you either have results or you have reasons, right? Either have the results, or, and this applies to an individual, this applies to a partnership, this applies to a team, a community, or an entire culture, right? You either have the results that you want as a culture or you have reasons, some would say excuses, for not getting the results that you want. Right, and so you can look at the results that we get in our community and tell what we believe about ourselves.
Yeah.
In other words, because what we see reflected in our external reality is always a function of what exists for us internally first. That's true for individuals. That's true for teams. That's true for a whole culture. So unfortunately, because we've been conditioned so heavily negatively about our worldview, and all of that, by the way, exists at the subconscious level. So the thing, you think, well, how, you know, there's like school, different schools of thought in the black community. You know, does racism really matter anymore? Does it not matter anymore? I mean, shouldn't we be able to, you know, we've got a black president now, shouldn't we be able to? But here's what we don't fully understand, and this is why I've broken this work down. We have to take into account how our historical circumstances impact our current behavior. So I'll give you an example. I coached a man once. I get called in a lot to coach African-American mid-level managers to senior VP that are really trying to break through to the next level, and at Fortune 500 companies and Fortune 100 companies. And so I often get called around as a bit of a turnaround expert. And what's usually happening is that the male client is also have some sense that he may be being discriminated against or maybe racism in the workplace. He's not exactly sure. Need a black coach who's really an expert. So they throw me in the mix. And I coached a gentleman once who was really having a difficulty competing. There was just a space where he would move, he would produce, he would perform, and when it came up to really fully competing and stepping into his power, he would sort of collapse or step back or kind of lose his mojo. And so when we went into our session to really deal with what was stopping him, what we realized is that what was really driving him, the root cause issue of this, was what I call a race wound. So we all have race wounds, and race wounds are traumatic events that happen to us about what it means to be black. So the first time you found out you were black, what did that mean? And what meaning did you assign it? Did it mean that you were less than? Did it mean that you were ugly? Did it mean that your ancestors were enslaved? What did that mean? Because how we assign meaning to things is what really creates our world and our reality. Well, his early race wound was that and I had to literally hypnotize him back into, I regressed him back into understanding this memory because he'd forgotten it, is that when he was 6 years old and in the Jim Crow South, he was hanging out, and some white guys said, "You compete with us, boy, and we'll kill you." Now, this is like 40 years later, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not always obvious why, you know, that literally our historical circumstances are actually impacting our current behavior. But unless you get in there and dig in there and identify these root cause issues, especially related to our woundedness, then you can go on and try and strive and achieve and, you know, try to get it and make it and push towards your vision and your fulfillment, but you'll always have this break if you don't deal with all this stuff at the subconscious level. So that's what I mean about our historical circumstances have impact our current behavior. Right?
Yes, it has. You know, at the end of your black paper, Veronica, you know, you ask us a couple of questions, and, you know, we give our answers, and you say, don't think about it, just give the answers. And I've been through a lot of work to help me deal with my situations my past wouldn't bombard my future.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
I've been through a lot of work to take my past out of my future and so that I can live my life freely. But one of the things that I realized after doing your questionnaire at the bottom was that I forgave myself for feeling how I felt about myself. But I didn't even know that I actually had the racism. I had racism towards my own people.
Yep.
That's one of the things I found out. And I did not know it until four hours ago when I took your test. Now, when a person finds out this, right?
Right.
So you find this out and we realize, oh, my God, this is really going on and this is what's stopping me.
And stopping our community because it exists at the cultural level. And so, but it's invisible. If it's an invisible idea, and if it's an invisible veil that exists over our culture, and we see the symptoms of it, we say, why can't we get along? I don't understand why we can't do it. Why we got to be like crabs in a barrel? Blah, 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 blah. But what's operating underneath all of it is this internalized racism, because even if you don't have self-hatred and you haven't had a race wound that has wounded you about you, you will often have one about your brothers and sisters, and that is the fundamental paradigm that keeps us from actually coming together and realizing our mastery. And so that's why I needed to make that invisible conversation visible. I needed that internal conversation that was happening in the black psyche. I needed to find a way to bring it out loud and surface it and then develop tools to be able to deal with it. So I actually developed a program called the Black Mastery Success Program that actually is the very first program. It's an audio program that takes these issues of these limiting beliefs around internalized racism, around whatever you're doing, whatever you want that you're not getting, right? It uses NLP, hypnosis, and some of the most cutting-edge technologies to actually go in really, really deep and reprogram all that stuff. So that's what the Black Mastery Program does. In other words, black paper is the problem statement, and black mastery is the solution. That's what I've been doing.
Girl, I've been asking. I was asking myself, okay, she's going to have to tell me, how do I overcome this? And so that I could release it and have it permanently erased from my psyche and my subconscious mind so that I can move forward.
Go to blackmastery.com. So,
did you already release it, Veronica?
Yeah, no, blackmastery.com is up and running, blackmastery.com. I'm going to be doing a webcast this coming Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific time. It's a free Black Mastery webcast. You can kind of get a preview of this type of work and how this work is formed. You can sign up at www.blackmasterywebcast.com, blackmasterywebcast.com. But the Black Mastery program is an audio program. We got a Yamla Van Zandt on there, and it's the first program that actually takes these issues and uses these cutting-edge technologies to address it. Love
wow.
That.
That is so phenomenal. I mean, the minute we hang up from this interview, I'm on my way there. I'm serious, because I was blown away by my own experience after reading the black paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, great. So now, I knew that I wanted for my life, I wanted for my life better than my surrender, which was living in a poor black community. I knew I wanted more for my life than that. So I had started my own business, and I was unsuccessful. So I felt the only way that I was going to succeed is if I was to move away from the negative environment so that I could see life differently, okay?
Yes.
So what advice can you say to someone who is aware of their greatness and finding it extremely difficult to move forward due to the overwhelming negative energy they get through their own environment and our community?
Yeah, no, I understand. Listen, I understand. You have to.
I know.
One of my dear friends is George Frazier, and if you guys know George Frazier, he's the head of one of the most powerful black networking conferences in black America. Actually, I'm going to be going down there to speak at his conference next Wednesday. I'm the official conference coach. I actually coach the whole conference, like 1,000 people. It's crazy.
Okay.
But he is like the guru of networking, and he's a really good friend of mine. And, you know, he tells a story about, you know, picking up and, you know, being in toxic Brooklyn and having his brother be shot and drug deals gone bad and being in a toxic environment. He picked his butt up and he moved his butt to Cleveland and he sat himself down and got himself out. And if you, because I tell you what, toxic environments, you can't afford it. And because they will dim your light. It's like, you know, you'll... What do they say? It's like you'll damp your light down to stay in relationship and rapport with your environment. Do you hear me? Even if you shine brightly and powerfully and energetically and vibrantly and you are in positivity, the subconscious part of you will actually tamper and damper yourself down just because you want to stay in relationship.
Yeah.
So again, when we talk about, you know, some of the reasons that people don't break out and get successful. It's actually really interesting. When you really start digging down into people's like wealth stuff, because I do financial coaching. I teach financial coaching all over the country, and I've coached a lot of people around wealth, teams, all kinds of stuff. And when you really climb down into people's psychology around this money conversation, a lot of times if they come from poor surroundings, what happens is they subconsciously now, this is where all the action is, they will subconsciously keep themselves in that environment because they're afraid of losing what they understand as being love.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid they're going to lose it, right? So it's the same thing. I've done coach training for the NBA, right, the tall guys with the basketballs.
Yeah.
And you're talking about guys that have now made a lot of money, right? They're young, they're millionaires. It's like the largest collection of young black millionaires on the planet. But they've often come from really humble beginnings. Well, why do you get this player behaving badly phenomena? Well, because their psychology hasn't really gotten congruent with their current level of wealth and circumstances. So they're always going to revert back to this comfort zone, which is where I'm getting my homie and me and Ray Ray, and we're going to go hang out. And, you know, I mean, but what does that cost the industry, the player? I mean, what does it just cost Michael Vick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we often say, you know, I say on my Facebook page, everything that you desire in life is just outside of your comfort zone. Right? So a lot of times we don't move forward because we really are afraid of breaking that rapport with people and losing their love. And sometimes it's the most courageous and loving thing that you can do is to get out yourself. So that's my speech for today. I'll get off my soapbox now.
I can really relate to that. I can relate to it in another way, and that is, that I've seen that happen to me. I've seen myself be pulled back into an area that consciously I don't want to go there, and I wake up and wonder, why am I back in this situation?
Right.
But I've also seen situations like what has happened with us as hosts and hostesses of Think Big Radio and some of the conferences I've been in, and I've seen that there is another level of energy that I get attracted to. And these people become my family, my friends, my associates, and they're thinking at a different level. But it's as you say, as I listen to you, boy, isn't this mind-opening, Coach Dion? As I listen to you, though, I can see where the next step is. Because even once I get comfortable with those people, I'll start to find that we're doing the same. We're at another place where we're saying, what is it going to take for us to get to the next level? But we're all kind of operating at that same place, and we need to step past that, like you said, just out.
Oh yeah, I was really clear at the beginning of my career. I was not looking to hang out with other broke coaches. And I don't mean no offense to anybody that's been a struggling coach, but here's the deal. I said, who's playing the biggest, baddest game in town? How do I go and sit with them and carry their water and figure it out and do whatever I got to do to be in their space because they have distinctions that I don't have. And I don't have time because I got a big agenda and I want world domination. I don't have time to sit around learning through trial and error. And I really don't have the time or the luxury. The vision doesn't have the luxury. It's not even me. It's not even personal. The vision doesn't have the luxury to sit and kind of like try to just struggle and find our way. So I've always surrounded myself with high-level mentors and people that were playing a bigger, badder game. Now, the tough part about that is that you got to be able to stand there and let go of your look good.
Yes.
Whoa.
Now, look here, Veronica. Okay.
And you got to let go of the look good because you're not going to be the smartest person in the room and you're not going to know the most in the room and you're going to stumble and you're going to, you know, because that's what steep learning curves do. And that's what being around people that know a hell of a lot more than you does to you. So you got to be willing to have the courage and the guts to stand in the heat. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With
and
people
thing
who are winning, with people who are winning.
Yeah. Even when you're not. But that's how
that's
you
right.
expand yourself. That's how you expand
that's
yourself.
Right.
Now, one of the things on the black paper, you mentioned the secret. I don't want to stay too long on the secret, you know, because everybody knows about the secret. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It's life. Now,
yeah.
one of the things I want to ask you about, you know, when you're up to a big game and you have a big vision and you put it out there verbally, even if you go there mentally, the universe will shake your entire world up. And
oh, yeah.
you to allow it to come in or, you know, or you just jump back in the box and cover up, you know. So when people, they say something big and they know that they can go there. I mean, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Right.
And their world gets shooken up to where it scares them. You know, they get
yeah.
that fear of, oh, my God, this has actually happened. I mean, it happens to me all the time. I say something, you know, and then all of a sudden it's in my face and I back down.
Ah, so you have like a little push-pull phenomenon?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I think what you have to do is you got to retrain your psychology a little bit. In other words, you got to like, so a couple things.
I know.
The word desire, the word desire mean of the stars, meaning it wouldn't be inside of you with as a yearning or a desire if it actually wasn't meant for you to do it. In other words, no desire, no capacity. So if you want it, it's actually yours to do, right? And it will continue to bother you and haunt you and right, until you get it done because it's actually it's God's and the universe way of getting things done on earth. They infuse you with desire. Now, the thing is that usually if it's a big vision, I find that by playing small, you really do yourself a disservice because your soul actually wants to play big. If it's got a big vision, it wants to play big. Not everybody has a big vision, but it wants to play big. And if you keep ripping it off by kind of going back in, then you get the wrong identity. So what I do with clients that suffer from that kind of push-pull, if I find a big audacious outcome that is so scary and so like, oh, my God, if I did that – what else could I do? In other words, you got to go out and find a way to collect evidence in a way that is very congruent, that lights up your neurology, that is really – you got to get an experience of yourself as like crossing some big threshold so that you become identified. That becomes your identity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So you got to pick a big audacious thing that's like, oh, my God. Because once you cross over into that, your subconscious mind will go, yeah. You know, I mean, I know it seems scary, but that I really am that bad. And then it will align with you to have you continue to do more of it. So I would pick something big. I mean, like big. I don't know what that is for you.
I'm on it tonight. I'm on it tonight. Veronica, tell our
yes.
listeners how they can contact you if they desire to, you know, have you coach them in their business. How can they get in contact with you?
Well, again, it's www.veronicaconway.com. www.veronicaconway.com. Check out the Black Paper. Come to the Black Mastery Webcast on Wednesday, blackmasterywebcast.com. Yeah, that's how you can get me.
Okay, so did you say this Wednesday there's going to be a Black Mastery Webcast?
Webcast, yeah. I'm going to do some breakthrough technologies on the webcast.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And for someone who might be listening to this recording later and they feel like they've missed it, how would they be able to make contact?
You can always get the replays of all of my – if you go to theblackpaper.com/blog, there is a section called Mastery Moments. And in that section are all my previous webcasts. I have a whole interview series called Conversations in Black Mastery with Great Black Leaders. You can get all the replays of all that stuff there. So all of that will be up.
Okay, great.
I'm also going to highly encourage people to go get the Black Mastery Program. I promise you it will change your game forever. I promise. I'm not kidding. And if you buy it and you don't believe me, I'll give you your money back. No questions asked. It's that good. It's that good. And it's for us. And it's for us.
It's for us. We have a couple of callers I see in
yep.
the queue.
Okay.
If you guys are calling in and you want to ask Zorana a question, we actually only have 5 minutes left remaining in the show. But if you want to, please press #1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you are listening, in, and you do have a question for Veronica. I have a couple of callers, but I won't bring them on the show unless I see their hand raised by pressing #1. Okay? Veronica, I am so intrigued by this conversation. It's blowing my mind. So what is next for you, Veronica?
World domination. So I'm doing a whole big, I told you it's my mantra. I'm not kidding, right? I've got a TV play coming. I've got a big, huge internet play coming. We're going to be partnering this thing called the Black Mastery Challenge. That site's not done yet, but if you want to go, I've got so many websites, www.blackmasterychallenge.com, where we're going to do a free online challenge in partnership with Black coaches, where you can come and you can get like coaching once a week from me. And what my intention there is to have everybody come together and master a miracle in community. Like Black people come together, pick an audacious outcome, remember how I was saying to you, and do it in community. And we're partnering that with like 10 to 20 million, you know, web partners that have 10 to 20 million views and eyeballs and all that stuff. So we've got a big web play coming. I've got a big radio play coming. And the other thing that I'm really excited about, and this is another show for another day, is this thing called Bioetherics. And I'm the managing partner of that. If you go to www.bio-etherics.com, bioetherics.com, that is a distance energy signal that you can subscribe to that basically makes you a little bit superhuman at a distance. I kid you not. It is when I say it's going to be the next big thing, it's like the next big thing. Meaning this guy can put your name on this machine, and that machine will find you anywhere in the world and send you this high-frequency signal that clears negativity, heals. It does all kinds of stuff, and it's all at a distance. And so I've just we just launched the website recently. I'm the managing partner of that because I think that what I have found, I've been on this, and me and my kids have been on this machine for the last several months. It creates like superhuman performance in people. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I want Black people to get this first.
I'm the first one in line. Mary, are you coming with me?
Oh, sure. Of course.
I want us to get this first. I want us to get, because it creates such an extraordinary performance advantage in terms of your capacity to get stuff done, to manifest, to do all this stuff, that I want us to get this first.
Wow. Veronica, we have 1 minute left.
All right.
So, really, really quick, what advice you offer to our listeners who think big and are trying to start their own business and just jump out of the box?
Well, I would say, first of all, you know, find the, you know, here's the deal. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what the economy looks like. There is something that you are uniquely put here to do that only you can do. And so you must have the courage to step out and do that thing. If you don't, you are selling out the universe. You are selling out your community. You better, like, we need you to do it. And what you'll find is that if you have the courage to step out in faith and do that, the whole universe will rush to meet you and to support you in doing that, because it goes, oh, my God, finally they're not compromising anymore. Finally they're going to do what we want them to do. Let's help. And so the path often seems daunting and scary, but I promise you, if you have the courage to find it and do it, you will be rewarded beyond all measure.
Perfect. VeronicaConway.com. You guys, check her out. Download the Black Paper. It is absolutely a phenomenal experience and the best read since I've had in a while. So, again, Veronica Conway. Veronica, thank you so much
thank
for blessing
you.
Us.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on Think Big Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Night.